you were aware of how your work in quantization found application.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I published these three papers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did something that would be academically not so smart. You see, I had made a discovery.
Mm-hmm.
What I discovered was what you can look at now is a theory of quantization.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty young and pretty naive, and it seemed to me that all sorts of people are going to do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't appreciate what the heck. Oh, I knew the significance of what I did. I knew it that day when I came into my office and I drew that Gaussian-like density on the blackboard, and I can see this probability mapping through, and I can see that this is a sampling process. This is a linear process.
Mm-hmm.
I said, my God, I can analyze this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it in the frequency domain, in the transform domain, which is characteristic function.
Mm-hmm.
And I had become a characteristic function jock. See, I was in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew, and as I began to make all these discoveries about the properties of quantization noise, every day I couldn't wait to get to work. I was making more and more discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like an explorer. I knew that no one had ever thought of this before.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it. And it was sort of in my mind. It was like going into a cave and discovering things, prehistoric things that hadn't been seen for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
So among modern man, no one had ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the business of discovery.
Well, did that make you want to rush out and tell people or work it all out?
Of course, mm-hmm. Of course. But then something happened. What happened was in the summer of 1956, this is the year I completed my thesis,
mm-hmm.
received the doctoral degree, and joined the faculty at MIT. In 1957, or 58, I forgot which, is the year when I came out and gave a talk at Westcon,
mm-hmm.
on some aspects of that thesis work. That was the first time I gave a talk to a major audience. I'd never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest group I've ever talked to was on the subject of neural nets, and that was at this conference in San Diego, June 21 to 24, 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 2,000 people there. That was the biggest group I ever talked to.
Mm-hmm.
That talk went very well. I was just in good mood that night. Everybody was in good mood and all enthusiastic about neural networks. When I got done with that talk, I knew I gave a good talk, but somehow the whole 2,000 people got up and gave me a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Some of my colleagues were there.
Mm-hmm.
And one colleague, a good friend, he said, never in my life have I ever seen anything like that at a scientific meeting, to have people get up and give a standing ovation,
mm-hmm.
to a talk. But what it was going over some of the history of neural networks,
mm-hmm.
and showing them historic things and demonstrating things that were built in the 60s that still work. Here, I can show you. Here's a neuron, and I'm going to adapt this.
Mm-hmm.
I did this in front of 2,000 people. They had a big TV camera right on. The machine is right over there.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was adapting this, people could see it on a screen that was enormous. You can imagine for a hall that size.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very kind, and they set up and did all this for me. And that's how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question about what happened, mm-hmm. when I did this, first of all, there was no field of digital signal processing at the time. There was no name for this stuff. We called it sample data systems.
Mm-hmm.
There just was no formal structure,
mm-hmm.
of that type, and mm-hmm. the field just wasn't established. the number of computers that existed in the whole world, you can practically count on the fingers of one hand at that time. Actually, it wasn't quite like that. There was, MIT had a computer. It was an IBM. Today you'd call it sort of a mainframe. It was an IBM, I think it was a 701.
Right.
And it had a magnetic core memory in it. It was just like a jewel.
Mm-hmm.
It was identical to the core memories that we built, except that all the memory planes were chrome plated.
Mm-hmm.
We used gray crackle.
Mm-hmm.
They made it really pretty.